Ah, you know, it's been good to have a bit of sun recently, hasn't it? I was recently having coffee with some of the seniors in the exercise class here on a Tuesday, and we'd had grey week after grey week after grey week, and finally a bit of sun had come out. And as they were chatting over coffee, they were just talking about this. And it was like the light, the warmth. Oh, doesn't it just lift your spirits? And then somebody else told me the same thing. They'd had just a few consecutive days of sunshine, and their colleagues were all talking about, how much more positive they were feeling about the coming months, and the light and the warmth and hope that the sunshine brings. They can look forward to what's coming in the next few weeks and so on because of the sun. Have I just gone a bit louder? Yes. I don't think I was talking any louder, but I might have been. If I was, I'm sorry. But there you go. Do you know, it doesn't take much, bit of sunshine, and people are thinking more hopefully. And interestingly, people are really hungry for hope in the world in which we live, right across it. I was talking about the local elections with somebody last week, and they were telling me that someone canvassing in Staffordshire, it was, and for the local elections that are coming up, and there was a surprising but common theme across all the conversations, virtually all the conversations, and it was this: a complete lack of hope, disappointment, disillusionment with the main three political parties. And a massive number on the doorstep were saying they either weren't going to vote or they were going over to the newest political party in the hope that things might just reform. So when there's little or no hope, people just reach out for whatever's new. Or they just don't know which way to turn at all. But people are really hungry for hope. And it does seem, doesn't it, like there are so many seemingly intractable problems that we face as a whole society, injustice within society, wealth inequalities, other inequalities, climate change we've prayed about. And more widely, when people in positions of immense power globally can just act in one way or the opposite, in self or national interest alone, and then shockwaves of uncertainty ripple around the world, and ultimately it impacts those who have the least. Where is the hope, people say? When you've got a dominant worldview which is more individualistic, competitive, materialistic, and so on, what hope? What hope is there when conflicts look somehow beyond resolution or change? We keep praying. We see a glimmer. We'll keep praying for the God over it all. But what hope when so many lives and homes are devastated and lost? People are hungry. There's been a recent report on a survey done by YouGov and commissioned by the Bible Society. It's called The Quiet Revival. What's really interesting is that there's a whole generation of 18 to 34-year-olds who, in looking for hope, have you got a picture of the, in looking for hope, we got the third slide, yeah, that's it, 18 to 34-year-olds, they've been turning to the church, and they've been turning to the Bible. And you see increasing numbers, just something quietly that's happening. And it's a surprise, and it cuts across the trends. It's not in all churches, church streams, and so on. And you can understand why things are difficult. Living costs are sky high. Renting or buying a house if you're young seems increasingly out of reach. And the future of the planet can look bleak. Anxiety and other mental health issues have been multiplying. And yet this report documents how some of the current under 35s, in looking for hope, purpose, and connection, have sought these things in the church. Since 2018, it's 2018 up to 2024, two different bits and comparisons. Church attendance has been quietly rising. And the biggest shift has been in this younger generation, especially young men, especially in Catholic churches or Pentecostal streams of church, whilst other streams might still be in decline. And there are an increasing number who are opening their Bibles regularly in search of the hope and purpose they have lacked. Small signs of life. And honestly, there's a lot to digest still with this report and work out what is happening, why is it happening, and so on. But let's just register, people are hungry for hope. And that includes the people that you will rub shoulders with. And it cuts across the age groups. Just think for a moment, have you had a conversation with a colleague or a neighbor or a friend recently when they've expressed that sense of reaching out for hope? Have you? One of the great things, I was like, oh, why is the AGM the week after Easter? So much to do on the shorter week and everything. But actually, part of the joy of it is hope has a name. For those seeking hope, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. We can describe hope in lots of different ways, but most of all, hope is Jesus. The Apostle Peter, he was there looking into the tomb, seeing the strips of linen remaining, believing. There he is in the locked room with others, and later on, beside the lakeside, walking with Jesus after the barbecue, being restored and commissioned. And this same Peter, heading up the church, he writes letters to dispersed Christians, dispersed because they've been suffering in the ancient world. They're so challenged, so in need of hope. And he writes to them. It's in the New Testament part of your Bible, and it's called the first letter that Peter wrote, 1 Peter. And just reading from chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, he says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time." That hope, that living hope, that is Jesus, and comes through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's God's plan, his mercy, raising Christ from the dead. Hope alive is Jesus. Hope alive is Jesus. And we get to enter into this new way of being when we encounter him. This new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When we respond to him, when we own up to our foul ups and mess ups in life and turn from all that's wrong and come to him and trust and believe in him, this living hope. See, what hope for them then, when Peter was writing to them? What hope for the world in the years to come for them as they looked forward in the midst of persecution? And Peter, heading up for the church at that time, he says, there is hope, and this hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ. New Testament tells us hope has a face, as hands and feet. We reflected last week on the words John wrote in chapter 20. Incredible words where the locked room, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after this, he showed them his hands and side. Marked hands and side. This risen, resurrected body, yet marked hands and sides. And they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Hope comes. Hope alive For Jesus has overcome the worst. He's overcome death. Don't the songs we sing around Easter time pick this up? So many of them, even ones we're singing this morning, Christ, our hope in life and death. I love the older hymn which says, lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us and scatters fear and gloom. Just sense that light that comes, the living Christ. Light comes, hope comes, gloom can scatter the light of Easter. Or more recently written one, see what a morning gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Thinking back to them, folded the grave clothes, tomb filled with light, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. That song goes on to talk about the voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us. And I quoted another line from that song actually last week. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered and we shall reign with him, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. You see, I mean, for those who are enjoying the sunshine and feel the lift of that, I totally get it. I totally agree, actually. But there's more. Isn't there more? There's more contained in God's word. And his name is Jesus. And we can find strength when we're weak. Help when we face trials. Light that lifts us from despair. Hope beyond the grave. People are hungry for hope in the world in which we live and move. And the Easter message is hope alive. And hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. And he's your hope. Hope is for sharing. Hope is for sharing. Which poses a question in my mind. How and where will those who are seeking hope find it? In Welling Garden City? Or in the villages and the area that surround this town? I love those photos that Claire shared with us during the All Age, and I wish we'd just had longer reflecting on them, thinking about them, spotting where they all were, and imagining other places. Where can you find hope in the town and the local area? Our dream is they'll find the light of Christ, the living hope through the Jesus-centered communities who live this out. And I'm not thinking a building here or on Parkway right now, although that's part of it. It's the mix of communities where we live and move. That's where people can find hope. Hope is for sharing. The pictures sparked in me this desire that in those places, in the school playgrounds, at pickup time or drop-off time, doctor's surgeries, local shops, leisure facilities, in businesses, in village and garden city groups and activities that happen during the week, in those places and times the people of Christ are sharing the light and the hope of Jesus because they're there and because it's fresh in there. I'm hungry for that. And on a day when we kind of reflect on last year and we think about next year, are you hungry for that? That was the least rhetorical question of all. And that one you could have answered, but I want you to think about it and pray about it and only answer that question if you are. Are you hungry? I'm hungry for that. As a church leadership, and then more recently in a couple of church meetings, we've been thinking about our 100th birthday as a church. We're going to be 100 years old in 2028, September. Those pioneers who formed a church, it was going to be a Baptist church. And we're thinking, well, what does God want us to be and do? And we've called it our Vision 100, and it's becoming clearer, and it's really quite exciting as we think about this. And one of the powerful things that came out of our shared reflections, as I was looking at some of the things people had written after a church meeting, there were reminders about a word from God that one of our local churches in the town received about Christchurch. That Christchurch would become a beacon of light, a beacon of hope in the town and in the local area. They've told us that, and they said, we've been praying for you. And that's what they sensed God saying. They would pray, so they prayed it would be the case. And then on numerous occasions over the years, the Spirit of God has confirmed it to them, and then they tell us that, and they say, so we're praying for you. So if anybody says, how come your church has spread over two? You can say, well, because God prompted another church to just pray that we'd make a difference in the name of Jesus where we are. And so when we kind of sum up our Vision 100, we say, actually, we do believe God's calling us to be a beacon of hope, bringing the light of Christ. And oh, it'd be awful if we mess that up, but we want to work towards that over these coming 3 years. We're not waiting till 2028. We want to live it now. We want to be led by Jesus, listening to him. We want to live like him. Wouldn't it be awful if the light goes out on hope because Christians are behaving badly when we're scattered? We want to live like Jesus, and we want to lead other people to him. How and where will those seeking hope find it in Welwyn Garden cities? Maybe it's as each of us play our part. Maybe it is. Hope dispensers. I was just reflecting on this. Bear with me. Hope is for sharing. And as we scatter to the different activities of life outside the walls of a church building, we and sometimes within them as well, we come alongside others. And they can draw from the hope that God has planted in us. Because they'll see it. They'll see something of that light if it's real and living in us. We've received it. We can share it with others. Doesn't that fit well with our verse for the year? We're to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Yeah. A city within a garden city, if you like, and the surrounding area. The people of God. What did Jesus, the light of the world, tell his followers on the mountainside? As he outlined this whole new way of living, he said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You're the hope. The church scattered is the hope of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. So we've got to let it shine, haven't we? And let the deep-rooted hope somehow be with us and rub off on others. Quite often it'll be as we're doing those things that God has asked us of us, and we're doing it for whatever reason, sometimes with sacrifice, but they'll see it, they'll feel it. They can benefit from it, they can receive it through us and give God glory. We're to be hope dispensers. Not soap dispensers. I had to bring one of these in today and so on. You know, I said hope dispensers, not soap dispensers, just to be clear. But most of the time around our house, we've got bars of soap for washing our hands, 20 seconds and all that. But in our smallest room, we do have a refillable dispenser of soap. Which is great, at least it is, when it's got soap inside it. When it goes too low, just below the little thing, it's one of the most frustrating things when the soap has run low. Do you ever find that? Yeah, okay. Part of the challenge for us today, as a gathered church of Jesus, is, you know, well, am I alive to God? Am I receiving his hope in fresh ways each day in coming to him so that I have something within me that's living that I can share with others, or has my hope level run dry? I know I said hope dispensers, but not soap dispensers, but there is an analogy here, isn't there? Has it run? You might feel too old, too tired. No hope to share. I'll tell you, this soap dispenser is getting rather old and tired and at times troublesome. But we do have a refill bag. It's great. We've got a refill bag. And one of the great things is that when the soap level does run low, I'm not going to make a mess here. Let's just take this. When it runs low, you were getting worried. You can get worried if soap is going to overflow, but never get worried that hope might overflow. We can fill again, so there's always soap in those moments when we need it. And that's true for each of us this morning. When hope is low, and there are lots of reasons why hope might be low, we can come to Christ, fill us up, and send us out, Lord, we pray. Fill us up and send us out, Lord. We draw close to Jesus. He's alive, he's present. Oh, and I need to finish soon. For the sake of those we're going to rub shoulders with, it's important that the one who lives with us and walks with us and talks with us, he's present. And we are praying to him, fill us up and send us out, Lord, for the sake of many. We know God wants to answer that honest prayer about filling us up and sending us out. And how do I know God wants to answer that prayer? Well, because he inspired that very kind of prayer in the Apostle Paul when he's writing to a church community in Rome scattered in those, we looked at this last autumn. And he encourages them to be accepting of one another in all their difference and to see God's big picture for the good news about Jesus, the gospel. And he breaks off from what he's saying and he writes down for them a short prayer that we have now. It's like a prayer and a blessing all in one. And he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13. He wants you to hear that afresh. That voice that spans the years coming again, speaking life into your heart this morning, stirring hope. If that's stirring within you, then make sure you respond today. Ask someone to pray for you. We'll have a prayer ministry team after the service here. There'll be others. Just grab them over coffee. I want that for me, bringing peace to me so I can bring it to others. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your power, and it's not just for you. It's replenishing hope in you that it might overflow to others, so that we as a church of Jesus, scattered in different roads and apartment blocks, can overflow with hope as God fills us and overflows. And his strength in us becomes strength for others. His power in us becomes that for others. Yes, your circumstances may have changed or be changing. The trials that you're experiencing are challenging, yet Christ himself wants to give to you again and fill you again, that you might meet hope alive and be filled with him. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And he lives. And he lives in you. So I'm going to pray now, and then we are going to sing. I'm going to invite you to stand, and the musicians are going to be ready. And I'm just going to take Paul's prayer, and I'm going to pray it over all of us right now. So just invite you to stand where you are, if you're able to, stand where you are. And maybe you want to open yourself to God. It's God's desire for you. That's why we have this prayer within the scriptures, the living scriptures. So open your heart, reach out, maybe open palms to him and receive from him afresh. Meet the risen Jesus right in these moments. I'm going to pray this prayer, and then the band will just lead us on as we worship him in the presence of the living Jesus. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you might be a dispenser of hope that's real in your life. Amen.